Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
This lawsuit hits more on a personal level than a professional one. Whatever the city attorney is trying to find, I firmly believe it will not benefit the city and justify spending tax dollars to pursue it. This lawsuit stems from a failed working relationship at the taxpayer's expense. Like I said, I would like to end this tonight. I will make a motion for the city attorney to dismiss this lawsuit with prejudice. Also, any resolutions pertaining to the mayor's censure be rescinded.
Second.
So Robert Leake, city councilman, is moving after the shade meeting they had on Monday to drop the lawsuit that was not from the city attorney. It was from the city council previously, is the one who voted to have this lawsuit go forward. And city attorney Alex Andrade actually several times tried to get Mayor Heather Lindsay, several times, please don't make me file this lawsuit. Please, you know, let's just produce the records. She did not. She has refused and refused and refused and refused. And we're now up against a judicial order telling her to produce her public records, having gone through God knows how many thousands of texts and emails and actually itemizing in an order. These are the ones, you know, this page you have to release. It was a deadline for yesterday. She did not do it. There's so much more to this story. But Robert Leake is basically saying, let's drop it with prejudice, which is a funny expression. It's out of place in this particular context. We're sending the censures. And there's nothing in there that's going to benefit the city, I'm firmly sure. Well, how could you know? Unless you've seen them. And it does kind of beg the question, why is she so bent on not producing these records? Like, this is a ridiculous extreme to go to prevent the release of what a judge has said are public records. I mean, what horrible thing must be in there? I don't know. I mean, is it? I have no idea. But it's obviously something, or you would not care. And so to say that we know there's nothing important in there, how can you know? She obviously thinks it's very important. Okay, so Eric Mead, who was the attorney at that night, he's like the second attorney. Like, you know, Alex Andrade is the main one, but they're both in the law firm together and with many other people. Eric Mead was the lawyer at the night they were having this discussion after the shade meeting the day before to drop the lawsuit that's incurred like $36,000 worth of legal fees for the city, but which the city is kind of on the verge of probably getting back from Heather Lindsay because she's losing and probably going to lose, and the judges probably hasn't yet, my judgment, will rule to pay them that she has to pay the fees. So they're dropping not only the suit, but also the chance to get the fees back with prejudice. Anyway, so Eric Mead is going to explain some things.
I will also tell you is that Alex does not act alone. He's a member of a firm. I worked intimately with him. I have been up on this dais many times. I have agreed with the mayor on many things. I have disagreed with the mayor on several things. The only question, and Alex is correct in the conclusions he drew in some of the texts that you referenced, there were public records that were clearly public records that the city did not possess. It has a legal obligation. It has a constitutional obligation to obtain and retain those records for the benefit of the public in the conduct of its business. There is no choice in that regard. There's a choice about how you try to go about doing it, certainly.
It's not just Alex. Eric Mead was involved in this decision. He believes, the judge believes, there are public records she hasn't produced that the city's entitled to. What is the problem?
But when in the final analysis there is clearly demonstrable evidence, which in this instance, at least 900 different communications the judge has passed upon an in-camera review, some 200 that are yet to be reviewed that he has questions about that may yet turn out to be public records. Those concerns of the prior counsel were entirely justified on the evidence and on the law as the judge has determined at this point with that initial order and is likely to determine at least some additional.
The lawsuit is right. The counsel who filed it is right. We have the law on our side. We are winning. What's the problem?
There's an obligation of everyone on this dais, myself included, to obey the Constitution, to see to it that the public records law is observed and enforced when need be. That's not the first go-to. It wasn't the first go-to in this instance. It was not the desire of anyone that a lawsuit have to come about. And as I think you read from the texts, there was a determined effort to make it not happen.
By Alex.
He didn't sign off on the lawsuit. I signed off on the lawsuit. We did so at the direction of counsel, not because we felt like we wanted to do it.
It was the last resort, not a first resort, not a punitive measure, but a why won't she give these records? We're entitled to them, and please don't make us go to this extent, but we will. And as he said, he signed off on the lawsuit too.
As far as the bar complaint is concerned, while you might view that as personally, and certainly if a lawyer gets a bar complaint, we take it a little personally, but we separate our personality and our professional life. The only reason for the bar complaint is because it was filed in an official capacity. That was how it was framed. And that made everything relating to it a public record, and therefore it had to be obtained as a matter of law.
You can't file a bar complaint as the mayor and then turn around and claim that that's not a public record or that the emails or drafts of that are not public record. They are. That's part of the issue. And by the way, did not have authorization to file that complaint as the mayor. She wasn't told by city council to do that. So it's weird because on the one hand, she wanted to say it as the mayor, but then doesn't want to make a disclosure of the public records surrounding what she said as mayor. It's just, it's Looney Tunes stuff.
It wasn't Alex making those determinations on his own. It was Alex and myself making those determinations. I don't care about the personalities. They don't matter to me. I care about the law.
Because that had been the argument that, again, Robert Leake had made for like 35 or 40 minutes, that it was all about personality and dysfunction and punitive petty stuff instead of about the law. And it wasn't. And by the way, the 35, 40 minute soliloquy, what's most offensive about it is not the fact that he cherry-picked things and didn't explain them in context, took them out of order, and I think said things that were just flat false. It's that the pretend that what he did say in that 35 minutes was the important stuff, as opposed to the three-minute summary I just gave you of the case and who owes what and what the law says, which he never brought up, to distract from the real issue that is at hand here.
And in that respect, I was looking at what could fairly be described as what a public record that needed to be produced that was disclosed by extrinsic communications. That means there's public records out there that the city doesn't have. We have to advise the city that they need to go get them. That's what happened.
And you don't get to decide on your own what your public records are. You're supposed to go to somebody who's a neutral arbiter in order to do that. I'll come back to this in a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Let's see here. Just that one accident to let you know about that just happened on New Warrington Road. And Mobile Highway, there's a vehicle crash with injuries has been reported. If you're traveling I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile all the way through Highway 29, we're starting to see about a 10 to 12 minute delay through that construction zone. Highway 29 southbound headed toward 9 Mile. You're seeing some delays in that area also. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to this amazing conversation being had at the city council meeting in Milton over whether to drop a lawsuit that they're winning against the mayor for failure to disclose public records, which the judge has said she has done. And again, the deadline was yesterday. So Eric Mead, who's the kind of filling in for Alex Andrade at the time, but very involved in all of these matters all the way along.
With respect to your trust in the mayor, the mayor is a very, very nice lady. I like her. But the bottom line is no one is a judge in their own cause. That's one of the fundamental principles of law. That's why, in the first instance, it should have been the city attorney looking at those to make an independent determination. Are these or are these not public records? If there is some concern about the contents, that's what the courts are for, which is exactly what happened in this case and could have happened in a far simpler manner than was done. In terms of the reaction to the request for those records on behalf of the city.
That's Heather refusing to comply again and again and having her lawyer put every roadblock possible in terms of not getting these records and trying to run out the clock so that a new council could be seated and a new council could be persuaded for whatever reason to drop the lawsuit so she wouldn't have to produce the public records, which is amazing.
You can have them submitted in camera for a simple review determination. It can happen in a matter of days. It's easy. It was not easy in this instance. That's all I can tell you.
So Robert Leake, again, who had spent a long time trying to persuade us that this was all about personalities and personal animus.
In my opinion, the lawsuit was filed for the strong dislike of the mayor. And that's, you know.
You're entitled to your opinion. All I can tell you is I take a dispassionate view of these things. I have no personal investment in any of it. If any of you get removed, no offense, it's of no concern to mine if that's the way the voters feel about it. If the mayor remains from now till she dies as mayor of the county, happy day. If you remove me tomorrow, next week, today, it doesn't matter to me. My professional duty remains the same up to the point that I'm no longer the attorney for the city, until Alex is no longer the attorney of the city. The problem that I think you...
And this, again, it's so obvious, and that's why it's so baffling why she won't produce them and why the city council is on the verge of voting to drop the lawsuit that they are winning. Casey Powell, who is one of the city council members that's kind of what I would say is on the good side of this case, is wanting the public records, is going to step in and kind of explain some things.
Did get a lot of communication during that time period. It was broken down into more email forms and texts because that's how we're usually communicated to as a council. It's surprising to me that tonight you're bringing up some conspiracy theorists that I'm not aware of, since I've been here the whole time. So I appreciate you shedding light on things that I had no idea I supposedly did. but thank you for that. I appreciate that that's your opinion.
He's talking to Robert Leake here, okay? And he's also going to reference the shade meeting they had the day before, where apparently Robert Leake didn't talk at all and instead unleashes this 35-minute thing, misleading thing today.
I think the bottom line is we had this very robust discussion last night. You chose to not participate in, which we're not going to reference specifically. Well, but this seems like that, in my opinion,
That's Mike Cusack's jumping. It's a shade meeting. Don't talk about the shade meeting. First rule of shade meetings, don't talk about the shade meeting.
The point of this whole thing tonight is to be able to come before the public and make a case that you didn't want to discuss in the meeting where we were in a position to do that.
I'm
not going to talk about the meeting.
Don't go into the subject matter of any determination.
Not going to talk about the meeting at all.
Well, he did. I wish they would, because then we would know what got said in the meeting. I can't wait to read the transcripts from the meeting when they become available. I just can't. It's going to be ridiculous. The only frustrating thing is that there won't be a recording. Always annoyed by that. You remember when we had to do the voice acting for the Bergosh shade meetings.
I was hoping we could do that again.
Yeah, we will. We'll have to again. Okay, so then we get into this whole long thing about other people being upset about Alex, and Marilyn Farrow makes some crazy claims about Alex. I'm not even going to have time to get to that right now, maybe later. But this is where it starts to get really important, because Eric Mead is going to give them advice. Okay, you guys are thinking about dropping this lawsuit. That's a bad plan. Don't do it.
If you were to approve the motion, and we will certainly follow the directives that were given, but I must advise, merely because you dismissed this lawsuit, which the city brought in its own right, does not dispose of the public records question, which is now already decided before the court.
Killing the lawsuit doesn't give her the freedom to not produce the public records. It doesn't change anything with regards to that.
Fact of the matter is, all of those parties have the right to proceed independently without regard to the city's determination on this question. They have the right to proceed against the city in that regard, to compel action by the city as opposed to on its own motion. And they likely have the right to attorney's fees if they're successful for bringing any of those actions if they were to prevail.
Anybody else could file the lawsuit. Anybody else would have access to the finding by the judge. We would be winning fees most likely if we persist, and you're wanting to drop it, and you're complaining that it costs money, when in fact we're on the verge of getting the money back, and you want to drop the lawsuit. Oh, and by the way?
So to take the action that you're suggesting as opposed to other actions which may be taken, and again, not going into what was in the shade meeting, the bottom line is you will likely put the city at greater, not less, legal risk than it stands in the current situation, where it has brought a lawsuit which has been successful and probably stands to earn fees for what it has incurred.
You are actually costing the city money, most likely, and you are costing the city legal jeopardy for other people filing either against the city or against the mayor or both in the future with the findings that are already on record.
Dismissed at this stage, my gut says that probably simply ends the case with findings of record, which any other person or a public official who has authority to go after the public records questions can pursue using that determination against the city, which I do not recommend.
So they're going to vote. They go ahead and vote after the attorney has told them, don't. We're winning. We're getting our money back most likely. Anybody else could file. You're going to be in the wrong. These are public records to which we're entitled. They're going to vote. And
Okay, this motion.
The Pitchfork Posse is celebrating because
The motion passed, but I didn't see fast enough the nays. Ms. Turnus, oh, thank you. The nay votes are Councilman Powell, Councilman Hawthorne, and Councilman McKee have voted no.
I want to give massive credit to Larry McKee because he is part of the new council voted in, and he voted not to drop the lawsuit. He voted against what his group wanted. But he's the only one from the new group who did that. So you had Mike Cusack and Marilyn Farrow voting to drop it. You had Robert Leak. You had Ashley Fretwell voting to drop it. And Tom Powers voting to drop it. Now, the weird thing, there's more. The lawyers for the law firm that Alex Andrade and Eric Mead work for, Moore Hill and Westmoreland, there was a letter sent by George Mead to the city council saying, we can no longer represent you in this matter because you're asking us to do something illegal. Because dropping the lawsuit is a way of obstructing justice, interfering with the order to produce the records. And this is clearly an effort to avoid doing what the judge has said. And so they've withdrawn from representation of the city over this. And then Heather Lindsay actually argued that because they've withdrawn, she should have more time. When they withdrew because they were being asked to do something they considered to be unethical under their bar obligations. John, how you doing?
I'm just shaking my head over here. I mean, I just...
Listen, you can't... You're not going to get this kind of depth of coverage in the paper. Of course, they can't. No. They won't. TV doesn't give you the time. Only radio can give you this kind of, like, really understanding this issue and just how insane it all is.
You've given me more in depth,
it's information. Mind-blowing.
It is. It's crazy.
So if you thought that electing a consensus government in Milton would solve the problems, oh, my God, no. John Pickens has traffic for us.
That's right. Still dealing with that one accident that happened on New Warrington Road and Mobile Highway. It's a vehicle crash with injuries, so just be aware of that. Also, I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile all the way through Highway 29. Seeing about a 12 to 15-minute delay through that construction zone just due to congestion. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5s.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Judge not that ye be not judged. Consider with me what that really means. That phrase is not a command against making judgments, but in contrast, Matthew 7, 1 through 6 is a command to judge properly. It's so easy to find fault in others, but the first rule of proper judgment is to consider and address your own faults. The second rule is to be sure that your judgments are clear and not clouded by a self-serving carnal agenda. Thirdly, don't waste your judgments on people who won't value them. For example, if you have a very valuable pearl necklace and you cast it into a pig pen, that would be foolish because the pigs don't understand the worth of the pearls. In the same way, you should be cautious with where you cast your valuable Bible-based judgments. So judge wisely.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Join the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10:30 as Bess Marks from Lazy Boy joins the show, talking about upcoming events at all three Gulf Coast locations, Pensacola, Spanish Fort, and Mobile, how to incorporate Lazy Boy's free in-home design service with recliners, sofas, accessories, and artwork to make your home look just like a picture out of a magazine.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-1620.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Sundays, you get Christian Outlook at 7, Ask the Preacher at 8, Town Hall Review, Fox News Sundays, The Weekend, Tech It Out, and Gun Talk at 8.
Good morning, 729 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Can a judge issue a bench warrant for the mayor's arrest? No, I would think not. I think it's probably a contempt of court issue. Although I suppose if she continues to not do it, then maybe at some point But then if you drop the lawsuit, does it moot out? And would somebody else have to file? I mean, these are all questions to be determined. They frankly are. We've got Steve Taylor with a headline or two for us in the newsroom. Steve?
Well, a measles outbreak in West Texas has infected about 4 dozen people in Gaines County, and health officials fear the true number of cases may be as high as 200 or 300. Many of those who have contracted the measles are unvaccinated children from a rural Mennonite community, and that's what's happening.
It is so amazing to see the awful outcomes of people refusing to engage in ordinary, time-tested, long-standing vaccination protocols for kids. It's horrible. Horrible. Chip Simmons will be up next. Stick around.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. The first high-level U.S.-Russia talks to end the war in Ukraine are over in Saudi Arabia today without Ukrainian involvement at this point. Secretary of State Marco Rubio says they've agreed to restore staffing at embassies in Washington and Moscow.
For us to be able to continue to move down this road, we need to have diplomatic facilities that are operating and functioning normally.
He says an end of the conflict must be acceptable to all parties involved. The mayor of New York City could be forced out by the governor of New York State.
Four New York City deputy mayors resigned Monday, throwing the city administration into further turmoil. In light of that, New York Governor Kathy Hochul said in a statement Monday night, she's considering removing fellow Democrat Mayor Eric Adams from office.
Fox's Carmen Roberts. Mayor Adams had federal criminal charges dropped and pledges to work with the Trump administration on immigration enforcement. He'd be the first ever mayor removed from office by the governor, who can do so under state law. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31 right now. 39 degrees and sunny. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. Governor Ron DeSantis recently announced more than 142 million visitors came to Florida in 2024, setting the record from the previous year.
I can say that for 2024, Florida broke yet another record for tourism.
That includes 30 million alone in the fourth quarter of the fiscal year. Locally, the average number of visitors is even better. Visit Pensacola CEO Darren Schaefer says the area had more than 2.5 million visitors last fiscal year, a 2% increase from 2023. Schaefer says the organization currently has $13 million in a unified budget funded through the tourism development tax. It's a stark difference from when Schaefer was hired to lead the organization during the pandemic.
Yeah, we just celebrated 10 years as an organization. And so I got here, it'll be 5 years in April, and that was a very different time. We saw big jumps in 21 and 22 that really allowed us not only to quickly get back what we lost, but to grow. So now our budget is at the highest point it ever has been.
Another major driver of the state tourism record includes interest from overseas. Schaefer says nearly 100,000 of those visitors came to Pensacola. Schaefer says other major factors playing into Pensacola's future in tourism are plans for the new convention center to attract larger events and continued renovation at the airport. More than 20 units responded to a warehouse fire in West Pensacola last night at about 6:15 p.m. The fire was at BGS Marine Sales right off of Navy Boulevard, which is a company that sells and repairs boats. One of the four co-owners says tools and 9 boats inside the warehouse burned. 3 boats outside of the building burned as well, and no injuries were reported. Escambia County Fire Rescue, the Pensacola Fire Department, and Gulf Coast Emergency Services with Pensacola NAS all responded. Exactly what sparked that blaze is still unknown. The Gulfarium in Fort Walton Beach has announced the arrival of 2 rescued manatees, Little Joe and Inigo, to the newly renovated manatee habitat. The facility is dedicated to nurturing manatees in need of long-term care. Originally a 300,000-gallon dolphin habitat, the space is now named Manatee Cove, and it's been transformed to meet the specialized needs of rescued manatees. It looks like another beautiful morning. Let's check the forecast from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be seeing a beautiful and mostly sunny sky day today with temperatures near 62 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 48. As you go into Wednesday, showers will move in. Heavy rain through the morning hours, 90% chance of rain. High on Wednesday near 58 degrees. Temperatures dropping Wednesday night near 32 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. Right now, let's check in with John Pickens for traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Jerry's Drive-In, home of the original bacon cheeseburger for 86 years, open Monday through Saturday in East Pensacola Heights. That's Jerry's Drive-In. We just had an accident, vehicle crash with roadblock. That happened at Pine Forest Road and West 9 Mile Road, and we're seeing some road blockage there. So definitely want to avoid that area. Also, New Warrington Road and Mobile Highway, there's a crash there with injuries, but they're trying to get it to the side of the road. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest all the way through the Highway 29 exit. You can see some major delays. It's up to about a 12 to 15 minute delay there right now. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks, John. Right now, sunny and 39 degrees in Pensacola, 41 in Gulf Breeze, and 36 in Milton at 735. The next news is an 8 breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Every day, you enjoy the freedoms brought to you by the First Amendment. You can speak your mind, wear what you want. You can put a sign on your front lawn that says, "Vote for Bigfoot, someone you can believe in." Pray to the God of your choice, or don't. They're the freedoms that let you be you. All brought to you by the First Amendment. Learn more at freedomforum.org.
This message is sponsored by Freedom Forum and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
Authorities are responding to a storm damage incident in Escambia County. Multiple Escambia County EMS units are now on the scene.
At any time.
We do know that debris was lofted into the air. There are damages to buildings, multiple buildings over there.
At any time.
The National Weather Service in Mobile confirmed this morning a tornado did hit the area.
When you need to know. Marconi Award winner, News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 7:37 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If it happens in Milton, we'll talk about it. Do feel like sometimes, but oh my God, I can't stop. It's the best soap opera. Not related to Milton. Of course, we have Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, here with us in studio. Sheriff, welcome back, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you doing?
I'm great. We both took a 1 week vacation from each other.
Yeah, I was not on vacation. You were actually on vacation.
I was. You were. Yeah. You were in Jacksonville for Sheriff's Conference?
Yeah, we have a winter conference and a summer conference. Obviously, we had the winter conference this past week.
A lot of good parties at the Sheriff's Conference?
We don't do parties at Sheriff's Conferences.
So it's boring. It's not fun.
Well, I mean, it's training. You kind of go over what's taking place in the state and, trying to stay away from the monopolization of the immigration topic that has been going on the last couple of weeks.
Anything specific that comes out of that that you feel like sharing or anything? I just figure getting around other law enforcement officials is always like sharpening the sword stuff. Like that's all just, good for you to learn and see what other people are doing, them learn from you, you learn from them, and, just get a different perspective on life, right, for what you're doing.
Yeah, it's not so much, how to conduct a traffic stop or how to, collect fingerprints or something. It is more that 30,000-foot level where you look at policies and you look at what legislation might be coming down so you can better prepare for those types of changes. And as I've mentioned for the last couple of weeks, we've always worked with our federal partners on getting violent individuals, felons. Violent felons, we want to get them off the street no matter who they are. And if we're aware of any gang members of any type, then obviously we're going to work to get them off the street. So the proposed legislation we had a long discussion about, and I don't have the jail. Escambia County Sheriff's Office does not run the jail. The Board of County Commissioners run the jail.
You briefly ran the jail.
If you look historically,
as the deputy county administrator when you were over
Chief Corrections Officer, right?
Thank you. Sorry. Yeah.
So that's correct. and the Sheriff's Office has actually had the control of the jail, and then they gave it up, and then you know by statute the Board of County Commissioners has to run the jail, and they can get into an arrangement with the sheriff, and the sheriff would act as also the chief corrections officer. We, at this point in our Escambia County's history, our county commissioners run the jail. But there are some requirements, it looks to be, in this new legislation, some requirements for them to have some individuals trained as warrant service officers so that they can serve these federal warrants,
detainers,
and such. I don't know if the governor signed it yet, but my understanding is that he certainly will sign it. And then there will start some training for the county jail. Again, I won't speak for them, but I'll simply speak for the sheriff's office and say that we certainly will cooperate with federal authorities and make sure that we get these violent criminals off the street.
It's a little bit of a weird week because, of course, yesterday I talked to Sheriff Bob Johnson, you know, Monday Santa Rosa, Tuesday Escambia County. There were sort of more high-profile incidents in Santa Rosa last week than in Escambia. It's been relatively quiet, but you did have a couple. This goes back a little bit more than a week, but the one that caught my attention was a guy got stabbed at a Super Bowl party?
Yeah. And
he didn't know what happened?
Well, it was a fight. Obviously, a fight escalated and I don't recall the details exactly, but
I think he got stabbed in the neck or something.
Yeah, but it was not life threatening. It was not superficial, so it didn't really stick in my memory.
Okay, all right, I got you. I'm trying to think of like what would have produced the fight. Kendrick Lamar is amazing. No, he's not. The Eagles are great. No, I mean, I don't know what would produce a fight at the Super Bowl.
It wouldn't
party,
be the first fight over.
It wouldn't be the first one at a
Super Bowl or a sporting
drinking
event. Yeah.
Wings, whatever. You also had you had a shooting, but it's a kind of a low grade one where somebody was grazed at Oakcrest Park, maybe about a week or so ago. Is that right?
Yeah, about a week ago, we had a ShotSpotter indication that showed 17 gunshots that were coming from the area of Oakcrest Park.
Oh, that's a lot. 17 is a lot.
We were able to see some video footage that showed a single person in the park shooting at a passing vehicle. Those 17 shots were rung out, and then a house and two vehicles parked in a driveway did sustain some damage. I think a lady was wounded, superficial wounds to her back, obviously non-life-threatening, and so we're still looking for information on who did this. So we're working on it. But that happened about a week ago.
17 shots. One woman was mildly grazed.
Right.
Okay. I mean, good. I mean, I'm glad it's not worse. But also ShotSpotter, we haven't talked about that a lot. It was my understanding that ShotSpotter wasn't alerting very frequently. Has that been the case that there haven't been? I mean, there were a lot in the beginning, and now there haven't been in a while. Or am I wrong about that?
No, it still goes off quite regularly.
All right.
I will tell you, it doesn't
seem still
useful.
It's
still useful. In fact, we're asking for an appropriation to extend it for two more years.
Okay.
Because it's really expensive. But if you combine that with our real-time crime center, it's certainly beneficial for us as a law enforcement agency, but also us as a county.
Gotcha. There was also a pretty significant drug seizure, but I think maybe it was the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services, FDACS, interdicted a van with 11 bricks of cocaine that had started in El Paso and was headed for South Florida, about $250,000. But you guys, I assume, I don't think you were the arresting, but you were like, something happens and you guys show up to help, right?
Yeah, Department of Agriculture, which I think now is a part of FHP.
The immigration.
They're all together. And they frequently do this interstate interdiction type stuff. Sometimes we're with them, sometimes we are not. And sometimes we do the interstate interdiction on our own because a lot of us interstate 10 is it goes through Escambia County. But in this case, the agriculture officer made the stop. We just simply stood by to assist them because, again, they don't have that many officers out there.
Right.
And if we're available to help them, we'll certainly do so.
When you do interstate interdiction, are you looking for speeders, people driving weird, driving suspiciously, driving suspicious vehicles? Are you doing plate readers? Are you looking for particular, like, what is the shape of that? Because you're not stopping vehicles. You're not doing like DUI checkpoints or something like that.
Yeah, we're not doing that. Not in your state. I understand this one, this differentiate this one. The thought was that this van was of a certain size that should have went through the weigh station.
And it
did not. So it passed through that. And that's what I understand the traffic stop was about, although I have not talked to that officer. But typically what we'll do is it's for speeders. You look for speeders or something that's illegal. Again, you don't need checkpoints.
A justifiable reason to pull somebody over.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of times you will work with our state partners, and you know they may or may not go through the weigh station. We can stop them. There are things that you learn, to look for, or be on the lookout for. There's like a bobtail type semi pickup truck with no back on it, right? The thought there is, just give you an example, they're not making money if they don't have a big cargo type on the back of their vehicle. So if it's riding empty, I'll say then there's no reason for that. Usually they'll get their whatever product that they're transporting, and they'll deliver that, and then pick up another one and go somewhere else.
Sure.
That's how the efficiency works. But if you see one without a trailer attached to it, you know, that's one more thing. So, okay, ask that question. What are you doing? Where
something
are you coming
odd,
from?
Yeah.
Where are you going to? A lot of times you check the paper, the manifest, if you will, and you'll see what they're supposed to be delivering, and just ask them questions.
Gotcha. We're talking to Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Hang on for just a second, Sheriff. We got Traffic on the Fives with John Pickens.
That's
with
right.
Prejudice.
I know.
Traffic on the Fives with prejudice. Because that's apparently the phrase. We're just adding with prejudice to things like the Milton City Council to make them more serious. Go ahead, John.
All right. Vehicle crash with a roadblock that happened at Pine Forest Road and Nine Mile Road. We're still seeing roadblocks associated in all directions associated with that one. So just be aware. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Sheriff Chip Simmons with prejudice.
what's with all the prejudice?
I thought we're trying to avoid prejudice. You know, prejudice is bad. Hey, I do have a question. I had asked it of Sheriff Johnson yesterday, but get your thoughts on this, because we're entering session for the legislature, so the chance of them to maybe take up an issue that, you know, gets highlighted in local media, perhaps. I am seeing more and more of these electric bicycles everywhere. Right. And I think of it because I drive on Burgess, you know, going home, and there's not room for a lot of extra stuff on Burgess on the west side of Davis Highway in Hilburn. But I think of it other places, too. We had a wreck the other day where somebody's riding an electric bike south on Highway 29 and ran into a car and got sent to the hospital. I see bikes and electric bikes going the wrong way in the bike lanes, but I see these electric bikes all the time, and they're fast, right? 30, 35 miles an hour. They're a motor vehicle, but you don't have to have a license. And I mean, help me out here. I'm just looking for input. It seems like they are making driving less safe and unsafe for them and me. But is it just my perception, or do you perceive this too? What's the sense of the streets from Sheriff Simmons?
Yeah, you know, as technology continues to advance, these bicycles at least become faster and faster. And I don't think that people understand just how fast some of these electric bikes can go, 30, 35 miles per hour, and probably faster eventually. And to your point, it's like a bicycle. I think they're governed by the same rules as a bicycle, because they don't have the motor that's so many CCs.
You don't have to have a license for them and all that. Right, and there's no CCs, right, because it's
battery.
And some
of them aren't wearing helmets, right. And, you know, they should be doing that stuff. So, I mean, there is some enforcement action that can be taken. They're not supposed to be going, you know, against traffic. They're supposed to be going with traffic like bicycles, and I believe they're supposed to be in the far right 3 foot of the lane itself, so the vehicular traffic can go around them. You know, if you're asking me if I think it should be looked at, obviously I think that they're gonna have to address that at some point. Just like we did with the golf carts, there's some neighborhoods that have a lot more golf carts out there, and some are tagged, and some of them are not. And then there's some neighborhoods that can become, you know, golf cart friendly type, or whatever they call themselves, utility vehicle friendly. So I would think that they always will take a look at it. Escambia County cannot be the only county in Northwest Florida, cannot be the only area where this is an issue.
Right.
I mean, there's obviously electric bikes throughout, throughout the state of Florida. So I'm sure they're taking a look at that. I'm not sure if they're going to have to pull that away from the bicycle, the pedal powered bicycle, or if they can just make some changes to all of it. I mean, do we want them on the sidewalk? Probably not. I don't.
Right.
You know, that's where people should be walking, you know, or jogging. So I think that perhaps there might be some issues on on speed, just like they did with the motors on a motorcycle.
And one of the other issues, and Sheriff Johnson, I think, pointed this out, if I remember, you know, they're silent, right? So it's not like a motorcycle that at least you hear coming, or even a moped or something like that you hear coming. Then the scooters fall in the same category where it's silent because it's electric. And so that adds a layer of safety concern in terms of pedestrians, drivers, everybody kind of being
bicycles
aware.
Bicycles are silent as well, so I guess.
Not the way I ride it.
Yeah.
I mean, you hear me screaming, you know I'm coming.
Downhill.
We have fun. That's exactly right. Ring, 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 ring. I really wish I had a
and I can just visualize you on your bicycle. With
oh, it's easy to easy to imagine. I'll send you a picture sometime.
You look like Mr. McFeely from with your special deliveries.
Nice. Oh, I saw my first white cruiser. I saw one at Davis and Creighton, and I wasn't fast enough on the draw to get a photo, but I did see one parked outside of Pensacon, and I think they look sharp. And for people, you know, we talked about this a couple weeks ago when you first announced it, but maybe just a quick reminder to people, it's not purely aesthetic, although they are in demand and they're nice looking, but the advantages you get from basically not painting them are...
It's each one costs us about saves us about $2,000 because historically we'd have to paint the front and the back, mm-hmm. you know, green, so it's green and white. Then also we can get them a couple months earlier. You know, there's not this backlog of cars that have to be painted green and white. And like you said, we think they look pretty sharp. So we've got our first about 30, 35 cars in, and so you'll start seeing a lot more of them out there.
Very good. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Camden County Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, thank you so much for the time. We'll look forward to talking to you again in a week, and we'll see you then.
You bet. Y'all take care.
All right. 751 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
With the arrival of the all-electric Volkswagen ID. Buzz, there's a lot of excitement generating at P4 Imports on New Warrington Road. The highly anticipated new VW van brings the past back to life while aiming toward the future with bold innovation that promises to impress. Catch an ID. Buzz on your exclusive test drive today. And while you're there, check out the 2024 Atlas and Atlas Cross Sport. These full-sized SUV models are available with 1.9% financing for 60 months or up to $4,500 in customer discounts. And the 2024 Tiguan, VW's crossover, is available for 0% financing for a full 60 months or up to $3,000 in rebates. Peakmore Imports on New Warrington Road has the distinctive and innovative design that Volkswagen drivers love to drive home. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Peakmore Imports, 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Discounts are a standalone offer and not to be combined with special APR rates offered by Volkswagen Financial Services. Qualifying credit offers expire March 3rd, 2020.
So, you know, I'm a big believer in people who go above and beyond. And that's one of the reasons I'm really a big fan of Christina Leavenworth, because I know that's her way of operating. In fact, it's such a little thing, but it still sticks with me. Years ago, she told me a story. She said, you know, one of the reasons that I sell so many homes and other people maybe don't is it's doing the little things we all know to do, but not everybody actually does. And she told me that whenever somebody would come and look at a house that she's listed and they don't make an offer, she would call the agent and ask, hey, you know, what'd they think? And then they'll tell her, you know, well, we like this, we didn't like that, the price was whatever. And she says, in the process of doing that, sometimes I can turn no anything into, you know, at least an offer or maybe a sale. But also I learn how to do it better so that the next people who come to see that house are more likely to be interested in it. Or maybe I learn something that helps me sell future houses. Now, that's a teeny tiny follow-up. It's a teeny tiny little thing, but not everybody does it. She does. It produces results, and that's just a small example of her attitude of, I'm going to do everything I possibly can, because I know she's told me, like, when she doesn't, if the house is not moving, it bothers her. Like, it viscerally bothers her where she wants to get results for her clients, every single one of them. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty.
Guys, ever had a bad experience in the bedroom that totally threw you off? It messes with your head, your confidence, and suddenly it's all you can think about. Next thing you know, you're avoiding trying altogether because the fear of failure is just too much. That's where Wave Men's Health comes in. Their providers have been helping men overcome ED and providing hope even when the pills and other treatments have failed. Their proven personalized treatments have some of the highest success rates out there. No awkwardness, no judgment, just real results that bring back your confidence and that connection. It's important to get your ED treated quickly so that it doesn't get harder to treat down the road. Wave Men's Health has treatments that online pharmacies only dream about. Tonight is your night for intimacy and connection. Call Wave Men's Health today at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Your consultation is discreet and could be the start of something incredible. 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com and let's make tonight unforgettable. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
At Pennair Credit Union, we know that road trips don't start by driving into the sunset. A day at the beach doesn't begin with packing the car. Even car shopping doesn't really start at the dealership. Your new car journey begins with an auto loan pre-approval from Pennair Credit Union, because at Pennair, auto financing is easy. And when you get pre-approval before you shop, you'll be ready to hit the road when you find the perfect car. Get started at Pennair.org/car loan. Whether it's new, used, or refinanced, vehicle loans from Pennair Credit Union fit you perfectly. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Opportunity Lender.
The Florida Department of Health in Escambia County works to protect, promote, and improve the health of everyone in your community. Listen in today at 10:30 to the Pensacola Expert Panel, when Director Marie Mott will give a public health update. That's today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10, before WEAR TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Do not take no for an answer! That is the first rule of salesmanship! The first rule!
Oh, man. I think I might have mentioned this before, but I had never seen that movie, 8-Bit Christmas. Oh, it's so good.
I
loved it from the moment. The first comment where he's telling his daughter about riding a bike over to a friend's house and riding fast. She's like, how fast? Fast. She's like, you were riding wearing a helmet, weren't you? She's like, oh, yeah, we always wore helmets in the 80s. I don't think they even had bike helmets in the 80s, and thank goodness we didn't. Let's see. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the Bay winner, Barberry Plumbing, at 477-8782. Still dealing with the accident that happened at Pine Forest Road and West Nine Mile Road. Seeing some backups now on Nine Mile, both east and westbound. Injuries and road blockage there, so just be aware of that. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and all the way through Highway 29. We're seeing some delays, about a 12 to 15 minute delay there is what I'm...
Well, which is it, 12 or 15?
Well, it's between 12 and 15 minute delay. Anyway, if you're coming from Pace into Pensacola via Highway 90, I'm seeing about a 7-minute delay as you approach the scenic highway 9-mile road split. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
You said that with prejudice.
I
757 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, this is a very good text. Somebody says, what if we made it so that the scooters and the electric bikes made the sound of a 50cc motorcycle as they were riding around? Interesting.
The new Dodge Chargers have
the fake sound. Right. The Harley. It's an electric Harley that makes the Harley sound. Right. But somebody else says, you know, the sad part for me is I see all these kids riding those electric bikes in Gulf Breeze with ear pods in.
Yeah, with their ear pods
in. So they can't hear anything that's going on around
them.
Unless
it's in transparency mode.
Right. If it still lets you hear the outside noise, that's better, not best.
Right.
Okay. I agree with that. That's actually something... I mean, legislators could look at that. You could theoretically ban AirPods or earbuds or headphones while riding the electric. But that might be an angle in on the problem that would help some, because that certainly is not a safe situation. 7:58 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, somebody else texts in. Andrew, can you please put all of the – this actually be an assignment for John – put all of the days of our Milton into a single file so that we can share them with people. I will do it if I get at least 5 texts saying they would use that, because otherwise it's not worth John's time. But if 5 people want it, we'll do it. So 437-1620, I want it. Steve Taylor's in the newsroom with our headlines. Steve?
Good morning. At least 18 people are recovering from injuries suffered when a Delta flight from Minneapolis crashed in Toronto yesterday. The regional jet was operated by Endeavor Air. It flipped completely upside down while landing in Toronto. Governor Andy Beshear is continuing to give updates as Kentucky remains in a search and rescue phase from all those recent storms. The death toll from flooding in the Commonwealth now stands at 12. Hundreds of roads remain closed, and thousands of residents are without power. And also without water. And that's what's happening.
All right. Very good, Steve. Thanks so much. Yeah, that plane is just crazy.
That's crazy.
I mean, you don't every day see a plane inverted sitting on the runway, missing a wing, and nobody died, thank God, on fire. Inverted, wing missing, on fire, and nobody, thank goodness, everybody survived.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters.